We are holding on Dalet Amud Beis by the Mishnah. Mishnah says, Hamakif is chaveru mishalosh ruchoisav. If somebody's surrounded somebody else's field from three sides. So we're talking about that he has fields surrounding the other guy's field in the middle. Rashi says specifically he has three of them. And he put fences around by the borders between him and the other guy on the three sides where he owns. Now, we've said in the previous Mishnah that in fields you don't always have to have, you generally don't have to have a barrier between them and a border between, not a border, you don't need to have a fence between them anyway, unless Makom Shenagu, but here we're talking about either that there is a Makom Shenagu or that he voluntarily himself, well, the Pashtus we're talking about that he voluntarily himself did it. Anyway, in Mechayvin Oise, we don't require the guy in the middle to pay anything towards the fences because he's not really gaining anything from it. It's a valley where there are fields. It's not a place where they usually make fences anyway. So first it actually brings an explanation that the reason is because, again, it's a place with fields, and they don't normally fence it in anyway. Then there's a note added to Rashi. You have these things throughout this part of the Masech, the Tof Mem Shin, which is I don't know what it stands for, but whatever, it's extra notes on Rashi, that no, another reason is because he hasn't really gained anything from it. Anybody can come in from the fourth side anyhow. So even if it was a place where Makom Shenagu, according to that second way of looking at it, then nevertheless we would still say he'd be potter because he could still say, I'm not really gaining anything from you fencing it in on the three sides. Rabbi Yossi says, on the other hand, Omar the Goder Saravius, if the guy in the middle went and fenced in the fourth side, then Megalgal and all of us are called, then we roll everything on him, meaning, in other words, that we make him pay towards the first three sides, and also because on the face of it, then the point is because now he's gaining something from the fact that there are fences. The fact that he put up a fence on the fourth side shows that he appreciates the ones on the first three sides, because otherwise why would he bother putting up a fence on the fourth side? So Rashi says that actually we don't have the word nikaf in the Mishnah over here. It doesn't explicitly say in the Mishnah im omad nikaf. It just says im omad if he stood up. But we mean the nikaf. Then again you have this hagar in Rashi that in fact it is going to be referring to the nikaf. Tof Mem Shin here stands for Tosfos Moreinu Shmuel, so it's an addition from the Rashbam, apparently, even though we have later on in the Gemara is where the Rashbam actually takes over when Rashi passed away. Apparently he also put notes here and there in Rashi in the beginning of the Masechta as well. Tosfos also points out that there is actually one Lashon that we're going to see in the Gemara that says that maybe it's referring to the Makif, that maybe it's referring to the guy on the outside who puts up the fence on the fourth side. So we'll see about that in the Gemara. Anyway, so the Gemara starts off, Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, Halacha ki Rabbi Yosi. The Halacha is like Rabbi Yosi in our Mishnah, the Amar, where he says, Amar the Gadar Sirabias, that if he fences in the fourth side, the Gagal and all of us are called, then we roll on him, we make him pay for his fair share of all the other sides, because again, it shows that now he appreciates it and he benefited from it. And the point is, Loishna Omad Nikaf, for Loishna Omad Makif. So to start with, then we're saying it doesn't matter who it is that put up the fourth side, whether it was the Nikaf, the one in the middle, or the Makif, the one who's surrounding it on all four sides. Either way, the idea would be that we would say that the fourth, or the one in the middle, is now gaining, and therefore we would say that he has to pay his share. Now, how much does he have to pay? So Itmar Rav Huna Omar Kolafi Masha Godar. As far as this last point that we're talking about the makif for the nikaf, that actually and Hagos Tzionim, it points out that the Beis Yosef brings that actually that statement of Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel about the halacha being like Rabbi Yosef and about the details of that is not in the Gemara. He didn't have it in the Gemara in front of him. Only he says the Rif and the Rosh quote it, so that they had it in their Gemara, but the Beis Yosef didn't have it in his Gemara. Anyway. Itmar, so now there's a discussion on that point. How much does he have to pay? Rav Huna Omar, Kolafi Masha Godar. Depends on what material and how much expenses went into making up the fence. So whatever it is that the guy spent, then the guy on the inside is going to have to pay half of it. Chiya bar Rav Amar kol afi d'mei kanim b'zoil. Chiya bar Rav says no, he's only going to have to pay according to the cheaper value of reeds. In other words, because he can say, I wouldn't have needed, from my point of view, we didn't need a full fence over here. It would have been quite enough as far as I'm concerned that we just put up a fence made out of reeds. And then Ramban explains, in other words, that basically we're talking about in a field. You want to have a stone fence around there, so therefore it's the equivalent, like we're a case we learned in Bava Metzia, where you have somebody who goes into somebody else's field where it's meant to be planted, and he for whatever reason didn't plant it this year, and you went and planted it, so then he's entitled to collect a certain amount of his expenses. Chibarav figures that a person will often use weeds, and therefore, so now it's the equivalent of saying this is a place which is not normally planted, and why should I be responsible than to pay you for half of it, for half of what you spent, when I wouldn't have planted it at all, and it's not even a place that's normally meant to. So Chiya bar Rav says that that's all he has to pay. And not only the full value of reeds, but only the zoil, like what you would get them if you could get them in at the cheapest possible price. Usually in halacha, we say that when you're talking about the price of something bezoil, it usually means two-thirds of the regular amount. So the Gemara says, Tzidan, well, let's look at our Mishnah. Makaf is chaver misholosh ruchoysav. He fenced in the other guy from the three sides. The goddess of Rishonah v'sashniya v'sashlishis. And he fenced in the first, second, and third side. Ein mechayvinoy. He says, and at that point, we're not mechayvim yet. Implying horavias mechayvinoy. So, now already then the Tanakhama seems to be implying that it means that on the fourth side, that if he does fence in all four sides, then we can be mechayvim. Even though he himself is not the one who put up the fourth side, because at that point we would say he's benefiting from it. So therefore, even the Tanakhama, it would seem by his Loshen already is requiring them to pay when there are four sides. Ema Sefer, but look at the next part of the Mishnah. Rav Yosi, Omeim, Omer, the goddess of Rav Yis, Megagol, and all of us are Kol, where Rav Yosi is the one who brings in the part about if he fences in the fourth side. So Bishleim of Rav Huna, the Omer Hakolafi Mashad Godava, Hainu Deikaben Tanakam of Rav Yosi. So according to Rav Huna, who says that Rav Yosi is going to make how much he pays depend on how much was spent on the fence. Well, now we understand the machlokus between the Tanakama and Rav Yosi. The Tanakama is going to say that even when he fenced in the fourth side, he can still get away with paying only Dmei Kan and Bezoil. And Tosfos, by the way, points out the reason is because Anan Sadi, we can figure. Look, if he had been able to find canning, if he had been able to find such reeds cheaply, then he would have just gone ahead and said, you know what, I may as well spend the money and do it. So if we say that if we say that the Mishnah follows Rav Huna, then fine. Then the Tanakhama is saying that you go according to what he actually built, and Rav Yosi, when he built the fourth one, and Rav Yosi is saying that only im omer v'gadol, only if he himself went and decided to put up a strong fence on the fourth side, then we're going to be mechayev him for the whole thing. Rashi points out, you can't say that the Tanakhama would say only if the makif fenced in the fourth side, and if the nikaf, if the one on the inside did. No, you'd say all the more so, if he himself put up a fence, then there's no question he should have to pay. And according to Rabbi Yossi, again, at this point, Rabbi Yehuda started the Gemara by saying that it doesn't matter whether it was the makif or the nikaf. So therefore, so it has to be they're arguing about how much he gives him. According to the Tanakhama, the Tanakhama Sabra Kolofi Dmei Kana Bezoil. Sorry, I had it backwards. So according to the Tanakhama, we're going to say he's always just going to have to pay the cheapest price that he could, the cheapest price that you could pay for weeds. And then yes, we're going to be mechayev him. Masha Godol Loi, but not to make him responsible to pay the entire value of what the other half of the entire value of what the other guy put up, even if it was a stone fence. But Rabbi Yosi Sabra Kolofi Masha Godol. Rabbi Yosi is going to take the view that you go according to whatever material he used. According to Rav Huna, the Mishnah is understandable very straightforwardly. El of Chiya bar Rav, Amar Kol Afi Dmei Kana Bezoil, but according to Chiya bar Rav, that says that he always, even according to Rav Yosi Megagol and all of us are Kol, means maximum he's paying for half of Dmei Kana Bezoil. Well, my Ikebed Tanakama and Rav Yosi. What's the practical there? In what are the Tanakama and Rav Yosi arguing? After all, the Tanakama's wording also suggests that he's doing four sides. If the Tanakama is going to say he doesn't even have to pay him for the cheapest price of weeds, then what is the Tanakama implicitly saying by saying if he fenced in on three sides, implying but once he fenced in the fourth side, then the rule is different? Well, what is the Tanakama going to require him to pay according to Chiya Barab, if according to Chiya Barab, even Rabbi Yossi is only requiring him to pay Dmei Kanim Bezer? So the Gemara says a few possibilities. First of all, the argument between them could be, it's true, according to Chiya Barab, both of them can agree that he only pays the cheapest price for the fourth side, or for all four sides, but does he have to pay for does he have to pay the payment that you would have to pay a watchman when the crops are ripe or almost ripe? Then you need to have somebody to watch the, if you don't have a fence over there, then you're going to have somebody to watch the crops and make sure that animals or people or whatever don't make off with them. So we could say that's the machlokes of this. The Tanakama is going to say the maximum that you can the value that you would pay for a watchman, because you could say, listen, after all, you would have needed a watchman at least that which is worth even less than a field. You have to pay him even less than a field, So therefore, you can at least be mechayev for that. And the Meiri adds, by the way, even if you're going to say a matter of hezekriya over here, you could say the hezekriya, people are going to stand over there and stare at it. Fine, the watchman would tell them, well, you have no business over here, go away. But the point is, you pay him less even than Dmei Kanim Bezer. So the Tanakama might say then that that's all you're making him pay. Dmei Kanim Bezer loy, but not to make him pay Dmei Kanim, which even though they're zoy, even though they're cheap, they're still more than a watchman. For Rabbi Yossi's stuff, it's Dmei Kanim Bezer, whereas Rabbi Yossi would require him to pay Dmei Kanim Bezer. So you could say that would work out according to the Chiya Barab. Another way you could understand the machlokas, Rishona Shniyo Shlishis Ikebenayu, the machlokas between them would be, do we obligate him to pay? Fine, we're saying we're obligating him according to both the Tanakama and Rabbi Yossi to pay for toward the fourth wall. And according to both of them, we're saying Chiya Barab is going to say all he's on the hook for is Meikan and Bezo. But what about the first three walls? Is he responsible for anything with that? Tanakama stava revius to the Yovle. The Tanakama is going to say he's only chayav for the fourth one. But he's not responsible for the first, second, and third, because at that point, once he was potter for them at the time, he already pottered him from paying for them. So now he's already Yotze, Basedin was already Motzi him and said he didn't have to pay for that anymore, therefore you can't now revert that and say that after all he should have to pay. Whereas Rabbi Yossi would say that after all he does have to pay for the first, second, and third, because now retroactively it turns out that he has in fact gained from it. So Tosfos gives a different explanation. Tosfos says no, the reason is because anybody would be willing to help with the fourth, where at that point he is going to be fenced in from four sides and he is gaining a great deal from that. That's true. Now he's not so worried about animals or people or whatever coming in, or about hezekriah, if we say that hezekriah is a concern in a field. So therefore, we can assume the average person would indeed want to help with the fourth, and therefore Rabbi Yossi figures that the first, second, and third, there wouldn't be. The fourth wouldn't do any good without the first, third. Therefore, he can be on the hook for the third one as well. When Rashi says the reason is because Yotzen raised in Zakai, Tosfos says, wait a minute, he was Yotzen raised in Zakai even for most of the fourth wall until we get to the last part of it. He's potter anyhow, because he can also say that's not really doing me any good until it's completely fenced in on all four sides, and until even the fourth side is finished. So Marshall adds to that point of Tosfos that he could say, Tosfos mentioned earlier, he could say I would have been willing to pay for the cheapest possible way of watching it, but then when it comes to the fourth one, on the other hand, you do have this consideration that when a person sees that he already has three walls and all he has to do is add to a fourth, then he would be happy to do that, and at least he gets a fourth wall. The Tanakama would say therefore that he's potter on the other three. The Rabbi Yossi is going to say he's chayev. So we have one answer that we're talking about, but the question is whether we should have to pay for a watchman versus for an actual field. The second possibility would be that being mechayev him for the first three walls as well, or only for the fourth one. And then a third answer, you both say, a makif and nikif, ikib and ayu. Or the third possibility, as we discussed in the Mishnah, is that you can look at it, who is making the fourth wall. Till now, we were assuming, as we started out, as Rabbi Huda started out the Gemara by saying that we mean whether the makif or whether the nikif made the fourth wall, either way the dinim would be the same, as we've been saying so far. But maybe not, actual. Maybe not, actually. Maybe the difference would be who actually put up that fourth wall. The Tanakama saw the time of the Omer nikif, de Megalgo and all of the only when the nikif put up that fourth wall, then we can say he shows that he was pleased with it so far, so therefore now we can make him responsible to pay for everything, for whatever portion up until now, definitely half of the fourth wall, and maybe even half of the first, second, and third walls. Abul Omad Makif, but if the Makif is the one who made the fourth wall, then you can say the Nikaf never did anything to show that he appreciates having a fence. So therefore you could say, Ainan knows him and the Jmei Revius. So then you could say that at most the guy in the middle is going to have to give towards the fourth wall. Because again, he was already Yotzim and based in Zakai. If the guy had ever taken him to based in for any of the first three, the answer would have been that he's Potter, so therefore now we're not going to be Machayim him. But Rabbi Yossi Sava, Loishna Nikif, Loishna Makif. Rabbi Yossi says not going to matter whether it was a Nikif or the Makif. Im Omad, but Goder, whichever one of them put up the fourth, Megalgo and all of us are called, we're going to make him pay for the whole thing because he is benefiting from the whole thing. The Yad Ramah does point out there was a nuance of difference. After all, if the Makif put up something, then it depends what it was, whether it's going to have to pay for stone or only to make kind of bezel. Whereas if it was the Nikaf, then it's going to be according to, of course, whatever he put up. Because if he chose to use stones, then there's no question that he's on the hook to pay for stones. And if it was reeds, then he's only chayav to pay for reeds. Anyway. So there we have different ways of understanding the machlokas of Yosi and the Chachamim and the Mishnah, which doesn't require us to say like Rav Huna that in all cases he has to pay for the value of the actual wall that was built, but rather that he can always be chayav only for Dmei Kanan Bezor. And the Gemara brings Lishna Achrina, another version of that third answer. It's not really, there's no substantive difference between the two Lishonos. It's just as the Gemara has a few times in this Masech, a different way of phrasing the same thing. Makif and Nikaf. It could be Nayu, the Nachamina between them, the argument between them would be about the Makif versus the Nikaf. Tanakama Stagrim got a Makif as a Revius Nami Yoivle. Tanakama holds, even if it was the Makif put up the fourth side, also the Nikaf is going to be responsible to give him that fourth side. Nikaf, God is Rabbius. Rabbi Yossi holds only if the Nikaf, only if the guy in the middle made the fourth wall, who Yorvay, then he has to pay to Goli Daita, to Nichalei, because then he shows that he appreciated having the first three walls. Avol, im Goder Makif, but if the Makif put up the fourth side as well, Lo Yorvay Midi, then Rabbi Yossi might say that the Nikaf is not having to pay anything because he never had any, in no way did he ever demonstrate that he wants this wall. Which means, in other words, Tosfos says, it comes out, a big difference between this Loshen and the... So there is actually a substantive difference between this Loshen and the previous one. In all the previous Loshonis, it sounded like Rav Yossi had been Machmim, and Galgal, and all of us are called. We roll onto him, we make him responsible for everything, or meaning for half of everything. Now, all of a sudden, we have a Loshen over here that was saying that actually, on the contrary, Rav Yossi might be Makel, and if it was the Mak, if it was the guy on the outside who put up the fence, then he might be complete. Then the Nikaf might be completely Potter, and only if the Nikaf is the one who put up the fourth fence, then we would say that he's entitled to reimbursement for only half of it, and the other half of it is on him, because, and maybe even with the three walls as well, because then it shows that he's pleased with it. I believe there is actually someplace else where we're showing him talk about the possibility. Here at the beginning, we said that Rashi is talking about, we're talking about that he fenced in the borders between his fields on the outside and the one on the inside. I believe there's someplace else where we're showing him talk about the possibility that maybe it means that he made fences around his own field on the outside, where it ends up benefiting the one on the inside as well, because after all, then he has a certain benefit from it. So the Gemara tells a story. Runya, Akhi Ravina Ma'aba Ruchosav. Runya was surrounded by fields belonging to Ravina on all four sides of him. We had Runya a couple of places in Bava Metzia. We had a story over there where he worked for Ravina for a while as a shasla, as a person whose job was to plant trees or vines or whatever and maintain them, and things didn't go well with them. B'chlal, from the few places in the Gemara where you have stories involving Runya, it seems the guy was a shtickle shlemazel. Anyway, so he was surrounded with fields of Ravina's on all four sides. Now Ravina put up fences between them. Maybe he put up fences around his own property. Omalei havli kama degadri. So Ravina says to Runya, you should pay me for your share of what I fenced in, like Rav Huna, like Rav Yosi, because we said the halacha is like Rav Yosi, and like Rav Huna's understanding of Rav Yosi. But Runya didn't give it to him. So Ravina says, fine, have the agana tirusa, at least give me what you would pay for a watchman. Again, there comes a point during the season when your crops are almost ready to harvest, and if you don't have a watchman there, then anybody or anything is going to get in and eat them. At least you should be chayav for that. Also, lo yoivle, and still Runya didn't want to pay for that as well. Yom echad have a kagodu dikli. One day Ravina was collecting, was harvesting the dates from date palms that he had on his property. So Ravina saw that he was doing that. So Omalei la'arise, so Ravina tells his artist who was working his fields, zil shkel mine kibura da'ahini, go take from Runya a cluster of dates, and let Runya see that you're doing it. Now you have you're not allowed to steal even as a joke or even to harass the other person or whatever, but here he knows that before he even goes and takes it, he's never going to be able to take it. Ozalasuya, he went to take it. Roma Bekola, and Runya started yelling at him, what are you doing? These are my dates, go away. So Ravina says, Golis Adaitcha, the Menach Nichaloch. Well then, by that, you're showing that you do approve of that there's a fence around the field, that things are guarded. And after all, lawyer, hey, Ella Izaba Alma. After all, fine. Even if it wasn't my artist coming in, wouldn't have been. Even just goats could come in. Mila Boyne Tugosta, wouldn't you at least need to guard the field against them? So if nothing else, you should have to pay for a watchman like you would if there was a concern of goats getting in. Omale, so Runya answers back. So Runya answers back, Izabama Lav Lachluya Boya. Why? With goats, all I need to do is yell at them and they'll go away. Rashi brings the word Lachluya has two possible meanings. It can mean to yell at them, it can also mean to hold them back. Rashi says that it's a lotion of yelling at, and the Yad Ramah rather says that it's a lotion of Mania to prevent them from coming in. Okay, so therefore, in other words, Runya says, I don't really need a fence over here, all I need is that. Amalei, so Ravina answers back, Lav Gavar Bois to Mechila, Nu, aren't you going to need a person to stand there to yell at the goats? Well, there you go then, you would need a watchman over here, so therefore, at least you should be paying me for that, like we said before. Also, the Kameh de Rava, so the case came to Rava. Amalei, and Rava says, yep, Zil Paisi B'madi Fais, go pay off Ravina whatever he was willing to accept before. He was willing to accept only Agam Netira, which is Lefnim Mishra Sadin. Better you should accept that, the Eloi, and if not, De'in Loch Dina, Rav Huna, live with Rav Yosi, then I'm going to paskin on you the halacha like Rav Huna, following Rav Yosi. Rav Yosi, who said in the Mishnah, Gaugal and all of us are called, and Rav Huna, who said that we're going to make him pay according to the actual value of what was used for the fence. So in other words, you're better off paying what Ravina is willing to accept at this point. So therefore, better do that. So Tosfos points out, now you could say that Rava is saying that in order to frighten Runya, in order to blackmail him into paying. And Tosfos points out if he actually meant to that kind of thing, then he would have used other expressions that we find in other places in Shas. I'd put you in Cherem or this and that, etc. So Tosfos says, and then Rashi also mentions, we see from this the halacha is in fact like Ravina, it is in fact like Rav Huna, and like Rav Yosi. Again, this is one of these Tosfos, the Merenu Shmuel. So this is another one of those additions that the Rashbam added in Rashi. But yeah, it comes out that the halacha is like. So Tosfos also points out the Loshen Zilpaisi suggests that as well. It means, okay, you know, at least you could get away, you instead of having to pay the entire thing, you're getting away cheaper over here by paying less than you would have otherwise had to Al Pi Halacha. So the fact is, of course, there is also, the Gemara tells us in Sanhedrin, there's a mitzvah before to make a pshara, when possible, to make a pshara in a din Torah, so he was trying to do that. Another time, another story involving Runya and Ravina. Runya Zovan Ara Maitsra de Ravina. Runya bought a piece of land next to one of Ravina's properties. So here, in other words, before, Runya's original field was in the middle of Ravina's properties. Now he was able to buy another field on the other side. You have with Ravina's field in between his. Sovar Ravina was Saluki, Bisham Dinah, Dibai Metzra. Ravina thought to remove him from there under the din of Bar Metzvah, which we learned a couple of weeks ago in Bava Metzia, where you have, if Reuven is buying a field next to Shimon's field, then Shimon has the right to say, you know what, I have first rights to buy that field because it would be more advantageous to me to have one big field. You, Reuven, could always buy the same field someplace else, and therefore, in effect, Reuven becomes Shimon's shliach, and therefore Shimon can pay him off and take over the field for himself. So Ravina thought to do exactly that. However, Rav Sakra b'reid Rav Yeva told Ravina, no, don't do that. Amri inchi, it's like the expression people say, arba'al tzala law. So four for a tzala and four for a tzala law. Now, what does that mean? Rashi first brings from his Rebbein that tzala means a poor leather worker and tzala law means a rich one. So Rav Sakra is telling Ravina, listen, after all, you know, a poor person needs as much food as a rich person. Food is food. So this guy is poor, he needs the field for his panasa. You're telling me Vasisa Yoshavatoi, which is the basis of the whole concept of Bar Metzra, that it would be the right and the just thing to do to leave this field to me. Listen, from your point of view also, Vasisa Yoshavatoi, you're also the poor guy. Never, he finally managed to find a field to buy. Don't treat him with the dinner bar. That's the point there. That's the Rashi's Rebbeim. Then Rashi brings up some length. There's a problem with that. The tzala doesn't mean the leather worker, it means the leather itself. So Rashi explains Runya, his profession was he was a leather worker. So he would tan leather and then he would sell them to people who are going to be making shoes and other such things. So Rav Sakra is telling him this guy barely makes any profit off it. He has to pay. So he's the middleman basically. He's not the tanner and he's not the shoemaker. So he's buying tzala, the leather, the skin itself before, and he's selling it and he's trying to pay for to the leather workers to make something out of it, which is the tzalala. So therefore, at least let him leave this to have this thing for his parnasa of his household. So it's similar to the first explanation in the sense he's telling him, listen, give the poor shlamazel a break. The difference is that in the first version, tzala and tzalala both meant the leather worker, and in the second version, tzala means the leather and tzalala means the leather worker. And then Rashi mentions another explanation. Li nira, he says to me, it seems, which this is something added by somebody else over here. That the vote would be that again, the idea is everybody needs the same amount of food, whether they're poor or rich. Runya has finally one field in the middle of all of Ravina's fields, and now he wants to be able to buy another field with Ravina's field in between. So Rav Sakra tells him at least let him have that one. Now at least he'll gain, his fields are relatively close together, and therefore fine, it won't be one contiguous field. He's still not gaining from that, but at least he's gaining from the fact that the fields are relatively close to one another. Then you have with all of these explanations, Tosfos then says, one second, Ein Merachamim Badin, we have a, yes, you're supposed to go to Pinim Meshuras Adin and all that, but the fact is, when it comes to a Din Torah, the Torah clearly tells us you don't discriminate between poor and rich. The fact is, Ravina had every right to do it, and Sova Ravina makes it sound like he was wrong in that, so for a number of reasons, Tosfos didn't like all this explanation, and the vote was, Then now, what happened was, Tosfos brings from Rabbeinu Tam, Ravina, what happened was, Runia bought, so again, we said before, Ravina had fields on all four sides of Runia. Now what happened is, Runia bought one field where Ravina is now surrounding it on three sides. So rather what it is actually he's buying another field where now Runia is a neighbor of it from one side and Ravina from three sides. So Ravina figured that since I'm three against one, then I should have the better right to it. And Rav Safra tells him that with a large piece of leather versus fallow law, small piece of leather, you have to put as much work into it. The same way he has every much right as to the Dinah Bar Metzra for being a neighboring field on one side as you do from three sides. Then there's yet another explanation that Runia was an artist in these fields, as we learned in Bava Metzia that he was Ravina's artist, so therefore so Safra is telling him that look, he doesn't own the actual karka, but nevertheless, since he's working the fields, to that extent he has a certain din of Bar Metzra, and therefore you should give him a chance and allow him to keep that field. So we have so far at least five different explanations of what this Arbel Atzala law means, but in any case the point is Rav Safra is telling Ravina, don't be too hard on the guy, give him a break, and let him keep this field for himself. Okay. Mishnah says, when the wall between chatzeres falls down, so we said in the first Mishnah, you have to put up a wall between the chatzeres, and then the fact that the two of them share in it equally, so when it fell down, so we said in the first Mishnah, they split all of the debris, all the rubble equally, but now it has to be rebuilt. So therefore, we require each of them to share in his portion of it up to four amos. Four amos is enough to avoid hezek re'ia, because there's two possibilities throughout Shas that it talks about in terms of how tall a person is. There are some Gemaras that imply that a person is 3 amos tall, and others that imply that he's 4 amos tall. 3 amos, it comes up in the Halachas of Mikveh, it comes up in other cases. One way of looking at it is that 3 amos is only up to his shoulders, and the 4th amma is the height of his head. Nevertheless, the fact is, though, you don't see all the way from the top of your head. Your eyes are a few inches below that, so therefore that helps. That would prevent hezek re'ia. The other way of looking at it is that, a person's height is 3 amos from head to toe, and therefore 4 amos is definitely more than tall enough to prevent him, even if he stands on tiptoe, from seeing anything. So they have to rebuild it up to 4 amos. So now what happens is, if it was built to 4 amos and afterwards one of them claims that I built it out of my own fund, the other guy didn't want to help me, so now I had to lay out all the money myself. Now, as we learned in the first mission, I'm entitled to be reimbursed half. So he's saying that the other guy didn't give his fair share, and I'm demanding that he pay it. So we said, Cheskas Shenosan, we have a Chazaka that he gave it, Adshi Yavi Raya Shalenosan, unless the Tebeya, unless the one who wants to claim it, because he's going to say, brings Edim, that he demanded from the other guy and he didn't give him. Because everybody knows, it actually explains, everybody knows this din, that the two people share, that the two neighbors share equally in building the wall. So therefore, to begin with, why would he go and build it unilaterally on his own, knowing that afterwards he's going to have to go to Beis Din and get reimbursed? To begin with, we would assume he would go to Beis Din to begin with and demand that the, that the guy pay his fair share. On the other hand, midalat amos alamaylon, but if it was built any taller than 4 amos, we're there, that's not required to be built, because hezek re'ia is not an issue, higher than 4 amos. Keep in mind, by the way, you could say, what about, you're going to look from an upper floor or something, but houses generally in those days were single floors, so I guess that wouldn't be much of an issue. If it is, obviously, I guess you'd have relevant dinim in that. Anyway, so if it's taller than 4 amos, in mechayvenoi, so we don't require the other guy to share in the expenses at all, because once we're beyond 4 amos, then it's not required for hezek re'ia. And as the Yad Ramah points out, he could even say, fine, in the past I was willing to build a taller wall, but now that it collapsed and we need to rebuild it anyway, I don't want to build it any taller than we have to. So now above 4 amos, he's not chayev. And on the other hand, if he came and then put another wall next to it, so in other words, you have got Reuven and Shimon over here. Reuven rebuilt the wall and went beyond 4 amos, and Shimon didn't want to help because he says, as the Mishnah says, Shimon can claim there's no reason. I don't need a wall more than 4 amos. It's not going to. I don't need it for hezek re'ia. But now later on, Shimon went and built another wall opposite it, where now he can put beams and things from one to the other. So even before he put up the beams and everything, then therefore, so Magalgal and all of it, so Afapishon all of us at Tikra, even if he didn't put up the roof yet, Magalgal and all of us at Kol, nevertheless we can already make him pay for his fair share of above four amas, because then he's obviously showing that he approves of it, that he once the wall is there, that he's using it for his purpose. Well, that means, in other words, that he wants to have a wall there higher than four, otherwise he wouldn't have been able to build his building. Therefore, we can make him responsible for paying his half of that higher part of the wall, even though he didn't put up the roof yet. And there, the cheska shalay nosan, there the chazaka is that he didn't yet give it, actually yobi raish nosan, unless he brings proof that he did bring it, because here you have the other way around. Normally, he's not required to pay, So now, if he says, now if he's going to say, yeah, but you built a wall opposite it, therefore you need to pay. So now, if he wants to claim that I paid, only if he has Eidim for that, that's not so obvious that he should have to pay. Maybe you could say, look, the wall's already there. I may as well take advantage of it. So therefore, so he's not likely to pay before Basin actually tells him, you know, the din is in this case, you're going to have to pay. So therefore, we can assume he didn't pay, because we can assume that he didn't unilaterally go and pay unless Beis Din told him to. Tosfos points out, now there is a concept, Zenan of Zalei Choser, but once he shows that he approves, that he appreciates the fact that it was raised up, then we say then Zenan of Zalei Choser doesn't apply anymore, because then in fact, then it's like that case before, the Makif and the Nikif, where now he's actually demonstrating that he does want and he does approve of it. Another point, Tosfos says there is a Zechoser after all, because now he caused him that now, after all, he is going to build a building over there, which means there is a potential problem of Hezekiah above four Amos, and therefore, in effect, that retroactively makes that the guy had to make a taller wall over there, and therefore it comes out there is a Choser after all. So the Gemara brings in a machlokas about this general concept. So we're saying in the Mishnah, in other words, in short, that you can have a case where a person is hired to pay something, but we don't always say that he necessarily paid it before he was required to by Beis Din. Only when it actually comes to Beis Din, only then does he pay. So the Gemara is going to bring up a point that's going to relate to this. So Amar Shlokish, Akeveyas Man Machaveri, if a person sets up a time by which the other person is going to pay him, so he lent him money and he tells him you have to pay me back by such and such a deadline. Tosfos points out, by the way, only if you know, we do say Stam Milva Shloishin Yom, we learned from Bava Metzia that a loan by default is meant to be for 30 days. However, since he didn't specify 30 days, then therefore there's no such thing as Tosfos Mani. Here we're going to talk about what if he claims that he paid before the deadline. Well, if no deadline was ever specified, then we say that the fact that he could very well pay within 30 days, and it's not so unusual that he would do that. But here we're talking about where the guy actually told him, you have X number of days or X number of months or whatever, is it likely that he pays during that time? So the Shlokesh says, no. If now the loiva says, I paid you during the time before the deadline, we don't believe him. We don't believe him unless he brings Adim or something to that effect. Tosfos talks about that we're talking about that there are Edim that he owed him the money, and that there was Kaveh man, otherwise he has a Migri. So we have to be talking about, Tosfos says that we're talking about that this is actually, Tosfos says, on the day that the deadline is over. So now already then at that point we say we don't believe him without some kind of proof. So then Rabbeinu Yonah says that no, that Ramban and Rabbeinu Yonah says that we're talking about that it's Acher Azman, and he's saying that you still didn't pay me back during that time, and you don't have a migui that you paid. So Rish Lakish says that we don't believe him. He says, I paid you during the time. And we don't believe him. At least the person would pay when he's obligated to, when the deadline comes. Many times people delay and don't even pay after that. We certainly shouldn't expect that he's going to pay before the time. Again, we have to be talking about, as Tosfos says, where he has Adim both on the halva and the time when he was supposed to pay. Otherwise, the other guy has a migri. On the other hand, Abaye v'Rava d'Amitavai, both Abaye and Rava say, no, Avadinish, part of a Zimne, a person might well pay within the deadline, because Omar, Zimne, Misram Lezuzi, he might manage to put together the money. Omar, and he thinks to himself, easily parry, let me go pay him off. Kiheke, the Lelitrud, on this way the guy doesn't go and bug me for it when the time comes. So therefore, so we do believe him to say, that he's going to pay at the that he's going to pay at the end of the time. Tosfos points out, you have, for example, Pidyon HaBen, it's not like that. Pidyon HaBen, for example, you don't say that kind of din. We touched on this in Bava Metzia, the difference being that with Pidyon HaBen, you don't have, there's no particular koyin that you chayev to give the Pidyon HaBen to more than any other, so there it's called Momen She'em Le'Toyven, there's no particular claimant for that money, so therefore you can't necessarily say that he would pay the Pidyon HaBen during the 30 days. But here what we're talking about, where there's a particular person that he owes the money to, and on top of that, with the bechor, after all, also the baby might rachmal son pass away during the 30 days. So therefore he might not do it ahead of time. But in this case, we're talking about he might well do it ahead of time because he doesn't want the guy to bug him. Well, the Gemara says, Tanan, we learned in our Mishnah, Becheskes Shenosan, we have a case where one of them built the wall and then is claiming that he built it all out of his own funds and needs reimbursement for the other half. So we said, Becheskes Shenosan, so the other guy has a chazakah that he already paid, actually, Yavi Lai Shalenosan, unless the Teveya brings proof that he didn't. So, Hechidami, what's the scenario? Ilema to Amalek Pratich of Ismani, or are we talking about that Shimon is saying, I paid you in the time, as soon as you finished building the wall, I right away gave you the money? And then of course he has a chazaka that he gave. We know already a person has that's exactly the taina that we're going to learn about Masechta the Shavuos, where one where Reuben says Monami b'yodcha, and the other one says Ein lecha b'yodi klum, I don't owe you anything. So in this case that would be exactly that. It's a kofar hakol midaraisa. There's no shvuah midarabanan. Fine, there's going to be a shvuah hesis, but here we're talking on a daraisa level on the original darabanan level. So if he says pratich b'zmani, then of course we would believe him. And Tosfos also adds, it's not like the guy told him, you have to pay me back with Eidim. If he did, that would be different. We're going to learn such cases in Masechta Shavuos, Bez Hashem. But here we're talking about where he just says that it's a question of trust, whether he paid him. And the Mishnah says clearly that we believe him in such a case. That's Kofar Hakol. El Olav de Omalei Praticha B'Tos Mani. So obviously the case of our Mishnah then would have to be that he says, I paid before you were finished. Before you got to the full Alma type. Alma of Adinish Depari Besetz Nimne. So we see that a person would pay within the time. Not wait for the deadline. So therefore, how does our Mishnah fit according to Rish Lakish? And the Shittim Kovetzis adds a point that because over here, to begin with, the wall has to be built by both of them, he could, to begin with, force them to pay even before they build the wall. So therefore we could say also that the Chiyuv already exists. We wouldn't say the Chiyuv only kicks in when the wall is finished. No, the Chiyuv kicks in right at the beginning, and therefore Abaye and Rava are saying he might well give the money right away then, rather than wait until the other guy starts harassing him. The point is, we're saying a point of the Shlokish over here, but fine, even a point of the Shlokish, we're talking, the question was, again, on the Shlokish, then we see that a person would pay Tzimanai, and the answer is Shani Hochot, the whole Shokha B'Shokha, Zimnehu. Well, that's exactly the point. Every row of bricks that gets put into the wall is already the time. It's not like the Chiyuv kicks in only at the end. Every time, even from the beginning, when the wall is built, he's already chayev. So therefore, the Shlokish might say that's different than a loan with a deadline where you're not chayev to pay any part of the loan until the deadline. We're here, in principle, you're chayev to pay. Every time there's more of the wall being constructed, then you're chayev to pay. So the Gemara says Toshma, let's try to bring another proof. The Mishnah continues. Becheskes Shalei Nosan. We have a case where the wall was built taller than four amas, and Ikra didn't. The guy's not chayev to pay, but then if he went and started using it for a parallel wall, then we do make him pay. And then we say Becheskes Shalei Nosan. Now he has a chazaka that he did not pay, because usually, as Rashi had said, the din that he would have to pay in such a case is not well known. Abshi Yavi Rai Shalei Nosan, unless he brings proof that he did pay. So again, we have to ask, Hechidomi, what is the scenario? Ilema do amalek pratich bizmani. Are we talking about that he said, I paid you in the time, when as soon as I finished my wool, and therefore now I know how much I have to pay you for, because you have to consider, the Gemara is going to talk about it over the next couple of blah. Suppose, for example, the wall is 10 amas tall, and he built his parallel wall to there, 8 amas tall. We're not going to make him be mechayev him for the entire 10 amas, because he doesn't need the extra 2. He's only using the extra 4, from 4 to 8. So therefore, you can say, when I finished my wall, then I figured out how much now I owe you, and therefore I went and paid you right away. But if he says that, again, the question is, am I loy? Why wouldn't we believe him? Again, classic kofar hakol. El alav the amalek praticha b'seich zmani. Evidently, that means that he says that I paid you before the time, before I even finished building my wall, and we would say that we don't believe him, because how can you possibly know at that point how much you're going to have to pay? So alma loy oven inish tepara b'gozine. So we see that a person does not tend to pay during the time. We don't say that I estimated my wall will be X amount of height, and therefore I'll pay within that. So how can we say that a person pays tosimani? The answer is shani hocha de Omar, because when he finishes his wall, the fact is, again, he doesn't really know this concept that once he builds a parallel wall, he's going to be chayev. So he can figure shining hook of the mi yemer machayv libabon. Who says the basin is going to require me to pay anyway? Not necessarily. He doesn't know the din so obviously that the chachamim are going to be machayv him. So even if we say praticha bizmano, even if he were to say I did pay in time when I finished my wall, we might not believe him. So with a halva, he knows how much he owes and he knows how much he has to pay. But here, he may say, it's not necessarily, I don't know whether I have to pay just because I'm using this wall. Maybe it is zenan of zelei choster, like Tosfos had said before. So therefore, it's not so obvious, and therefore we could say that, therefore, Abaye and Rava would say here, in this case, you can't expect that he would pay in advance. That doesn't necessarily show by a regular case of halva, where he knows perfectly well he owes the money and he knows how much he owes, that he might not pay during the time. Well, the Gemara says, Rav Papa and Rav Huna b'Rei de Rav Shua, Avdi k'Abaye v'Rava. So Rav Papa and Rav Huna b'Rei de Rav Shua paskin an actual case like Abaye and Rava, where a person claimed that I paid within the time, and they believed him. On the other hand, Ma'abar Rav Ashi over to the Shlokish. Ma'abar Rav Ashi held and paskin like the Shlokish, that we don't believe him to say that he paid Tertzmanai. And the Gemara says, V'hilchasa for the Shlokish, the halacha is in fact like the Shlokish, that we don't believe him, that they paid during the time. V'afilu miyasni, and that would apply even if we're collecting from Yisraimim. So if the loiva died before the deadline, then you can collect from the Yisraimim even without having to swear. Normally, when you're collecting from Yisraimim, you have to swear. There's a bunch of rules. You have to swear that it wasn't paid off, and you have to, that you can collect only from Karka, and so on and so forth. Here you can collect without a shvua because it's very unlikely that the guy paid. Again, because of this reason that a person doesn't normally pay totes money. So even though we normally say body part of a nixi yisaimim, when a person wants to collect from nixi yisaimim, lo yipora el b'shvur, he can collect only with a shvur. Here chazaka lo yavod inish the part of a gozimne. Here the fact that you have this chazaka that a person doesn't pay during the time is enough to override that. And therefore he can collect from them even without a shavua. Tosfos discusses, first of all, what kind of yisoyimim are we talking about? Are we talking about yisoyimim who are ketanim? They don't really have a mitzvah yet to pay off their father's debt. Dolim do, because mitzvah lefroya chayvas aviyim, it's called, they have a mitzvah to pay off their father's debt. Ketanim are not chayvin a mitzvah yet, so therefore we can talk about whether we're talking about over here gedolim or ketanim. And Tosfos goes and discusses the pros and cons of that a little bit, whether in fact we are talking about yisoyimim, gedolim or ketanim. Tosfos also discusses where exactly this din comes from and various other details about that. One thing is that therefore Tosfos brings a practical halacha from it. Also, a person brings out a shtar choiv on somebody else, and the loiva says, "Well, swear to me that I didn't pay you, that I didn't pay you during the time." He's not required. The beis din is not going to say, "Yes, you have to swear that shura, and only then you can collect." Because again, the chazaka that he didn't pay is so strong that if he wants to claim that he paid, he's going to, the loiva is going to have to bring proof that he paid, and if not, then he's going to have to pay. If later on he brings a proof that he actually paid previously, and then now he's paid double, then there'll be a new din torah, and he'll get reimbursed for that double payment that he made. Okay, so we'll continue in the Gemara tomorrow. Best Hashem, we'll deal with various other angles on this matter of paying tos manai and so forth, and how it relates to our Mishnah.